cool new app on here. I just found out I used to run my audio through the TV, then through the microphone. Now I can just upload it into CastBox when I do live. I didn't know that. And it plays it direct to you. Much better sound quality, I'm sure. I was typing, hey, Bleefall, if you want to call in and talk about your podcast, feel free. If you got anything you want to talk about, like I said, really just kind of an open forum tonight. Nothing on the list. Awesome. Thanks for following, man. And like I said, Bleefall, if you want to call in, man, feel free. I don't know if you've ever used that feature. It's literally at the bottom. I've never done it through my computer, so I don't know how it works, but let's see. All right. Thanks, everyone, for joining. It's funny. I ran like a test earlier. I was just trying to see how that music thing worked out, and I had 5 people in the room when I'm just hitting buttons, trying to figure things out and not really doing anything. Immediately, they were here. And now it's like, I got 4. It's funny. Not a huge difference either way. If I collapse that window. All right. Yeah, I mean, I really, tomorrow night, I got a podcast on words and their meanings. It'll be the second Sunday in a row that we've done such a thing. We get into the meanings behind words, their origins, and what they mean in daily use. And Monday night, we'll be getting into space exploration and its impact on society. Somebody wanted to call in, and he was going on about Elon Musk and space exploration. I think that we completely have varying opinions on that. But, he seemed passionate about it, and I'm sure it's an interesting topic. So that'll be Monday night. How you doing, Raven? All right. I normally plan out my shows a bit. Today I've just been kind of planning tomorrow's show on words, reading some. Let me see, y'all. Boom, 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 boom. Whew. Let me see. Yep. Did you guys enjoy our weekend so far? Got a little bit of gardening done. I was enjoying that. Yesterday, there was like an old man selling some parsley plants and some tomato plants down the road. And I really wanted, some parsley. For some reason, parsley is impossible to grow from seed. It's like near damn impossible. I think I had 2 rows 20 feet long. I planted parsley seed in twice this year. One single parsley plant. But then I went ahead and bought some, guy sprouted some seeds. And it was like $1 for 20 plants. Very good deal. How's it going, JR? Just a free form tonight. If anybody wants to call in with anything, feel free. Just kind of, just seeing what people's thoughts are tonight. Sometimes I like to keep a rigid structure. Like tomorrow night, I got a rigid structure. Monday night, I got like a kind of rigid show. I got one caller calling in. He's got some space exploration points he wants to point out. Tonight's just kind of free form. I want to see how it go. So I'm open for any calls. I don't know if there's that many people in the room, but if either one of you want to call in, feel free. I just started, 5 minutes ago? It's so hilarious, though. I literally was just testing the sound, this new feature. I don't know if you guys ever have done live casting, but there's a feature where you can load it, music onto the CastBox from your computer, and then you just play it live through the platform. I had been playing it through my microphone. Terrible. But I'm just going to play some music for a minute, see if anybody comes in the room. And I'll be right back with you to see what's going on. And if anybody wants to go in, like I said, open forum. So, you know, like I said, anybody can call in. If not, I'm just going to go on to what I've been researching today, which is government. Ooh, so interesting. Government, so amazing. And actually, during that short commercial break there, I found a pretty interesting article. Man, that was, CastBox is so new. It's like, or the live cast is new. I'm trying to collapse these windows, but I can't. Only way is to expand it. Thank you, Nicole, for the like. I see you jumped out of the room, but thank you. Thank you. But I found this interesting article. You know, like, what was it? Occupy Wall Street was 2012. And their whole thing was, we're the 99%, right? Well, you know, I just, this is an article. It's on Pocket. You can go to getpocket.com. It's through Mozilla Firefox. It's a great, they have really great content that rises to the top. It's pretty interesting what they get in touch with. And they get some good articles that come up to the top. Basically, like, you get, I mean, I'd say every day there's one good one, and they only put like three on your feed every day. This one is the 9.9% is the new American aristocracy. The class divide is already toxic, and it's fast becoming unbridgeable. And you're probably part of the problem, at least 10% of you. So if it's 10%, you know, each one of us, there's a 50% chance someone in this room is the problem for the rising aristocracy. The article says the aristocracy is dead. For about a week every year in my childhood, I was a member of one of America's fading aristocracies. Sometimes around Christmas, more often on the 4th of July, my family would take up residence at one of my grandparents' country clubs in Chicago, Palm Beach, or Asheville, North Carolina. This, man, those are some loaded parents. Grandparents. Are your grandparents that rich? Holy cow. They got three country clubs they go to? Wow. Why in Chicago would you have a country club? Does anybody know anyone with a country club in Chicago? It seems like a terrible place to get one. The breakfast buffets were magnificent, and my grandfather was a jovial host, always ready with a familiar story, rarely missing an opportunity for gentle instruction on proper club etiquette. At the age of 11 or 12, I gathered from him between his puffs of the cigar smoke that we owed plenty to great-grandfather, Colonel Robert W. Stewart, a rough rider with Teddy Roosevelt, who made his fortune as chairman of Standard Oil of Indiana in the 1920s. I was also given to understand that for reasons traceable to some ancient and incomprehensive dispute, the Rockefellers were the mortal enemies of our clan. The Rockefellers versus Standard Oil, right? I thought Rockefellers were Standard Oil. So I guess they're fighting over the company. I don't know. Only much later in life did I learn the stories about the Colonel, and his tangles with the Titans fell far short of the truth. At the end of each week, we would return to our place. My reality was, so, you know, they go out on tour. The person writing this article is saying that, you know, for about a week a year, they were spoiled rich because their grandparents had a lot of money. And it just, I don't know, it appealed to me because I was reading a lot about Cicero, and he has De Republica. Is it De Republica? Yeah, De Republica, or no. It's two different words, though. Republica, whereas we call it the Republic today. But this one was about the aristocracy, and I was reading in here, and if nobody calls in, I'm going full bore into some Cicero, and it's going to be, like, overwhelmingly boring. So. Oh, Lord. Lifetime. My reality was the aggressively middle-class world of the 1960s and 70s. U.S. bases and communities around them. Life was good there, but the pizza came from the box, and it was Lucky Charms for breakfast. Our glory peaked on the day my parents came home with a new Volkswagen camper bus. As I got older, the holiday pump of patriotic luncheons and bridge playing rituals came to seem faintly ridiculous and even offensive. Like an endless birthday party for people whose chief accomplishment in life was just showing up. I belonged to a new generation that believed in getting ahead through merit and we defined merit in a straightforward way. Test scores, grades, oh my gosh, again, so boring. I've joined a new aristocracy now, even if we call ourselves has anyone ever heard of this one? Meritocratic winners. If you are typically a reader of The Atlantic, you may well be a member too. Thank God I don't read The Atlantic very often. This is like, there is definitely an aristocracy of people in mind. It's like this superior thought pattern, like the people have, like that they think they're better. And I like that they call themselves that. If you are typically a reader of The Atlantic, you may well be a member too. What is The Atlantic? Which one's The Atlantic? Like they write, because the one I always think is like the most crazy is like Medium, but anyone can write a Medium. It's a great site. If you want to write, you want a free platform, medium.com. I'm not going to say you'll get any viewers, but it's a great place to write for. And anyone can go get a profile. And I don't know why it's not like known. It's really cool. Like literally anyone can go to medium.com and you can put your content on there. What's The Atlantic? I'm sorry, guys. I do suffer from squeaky chair disorder. It is a nightmare for a microphone that picks up everything behind it. Are you younger? Like a high school student, I assume? Because I was supposed to read that in what? Was that ninth grade? I get why he did it, though. Oh, dude, The Atlantic is just too brutal. Was this like the capital? Don't tell anyone the ending. Did you do it because it was schoolwork or just on your own merit? Like, you just read it. By any, so this person, again, I'm reading from Pocket, if anybody's joining in late. And like I said, this is free form. If anybody wants to call in, Anita, you look like, is it Anita or Anit? Anit? You look like you have a legit profile. Alvin, either one you want to call in. John, you want to call in and discuss of Mice and Men and what it meant to you? Feel free. I mean, you know, typically I have a structure to my podcast, livecast. Tonight, I just jumped on here. I was like, I got nothing else going on. Tomorrow night, I'm discussing words and their meanings. I've got some great people that join in with me on that, and they help keep the content flowing. And Monday, we're talking about space exploration and what it means for society. But if anybody wants to call in tonight, like I said, it's free form. Otherwise, I'm just going to talk about government. I'm going to try and bore you into calling me. But if you are calling me, I don't know how I'd see it on this dang thing. I don't think anybody is, but there we go. All right. So this person's writing for pocket.com. Oh, so I just finished reading my own. Don't worry, not going to spoil it. You're going to put on your call in and put on your tinfoil hat and call in, man. Come on now. Don't be afraid. We'd love to hear from you. And if anybody is calling in and I'm not seeing it, let me know because I've never taken a call through the computer. I've taken calls to my phone, but I don't know how it works on the computer. I assume it's about the same. But John Lennon, if you want to call in about why you were assassinated and why those people did what they did to you and what the Beatles music was really about, call in. We all want to hear. Okay. But this person, you know, pocket, getpocket.com. you got some great stories. The 9.9% is the New American Aristocracy. That's what I'm reading from. I'm just going to be doing some deep reading if nobody will call in and abhorre someone into calling and speaking their mind. I'm sorry. I'm sorry to be so cruel. If not, I'm just going to discuss, you know, towards the end, I'm going to start reading some Cicero and just giving raw ideas and structuring tomorrow's content and seeing what people are interested in for tomorrow. This is a freeform show again. Anyone can call in. So, and in the first part, they're talking about how they are part of the aristocracy 1 week of the year. And because they go to their grandparents' house and they have a lot of money and basically they take care of them for that 1 week a year, they're part of the American quote-unquote aristocracy. And they're just going on to explain what they're talking about. And I think this article is interesting because the percentage was always the 1%. Oh, and it looks like they get right into it. You know, we are the 99%, the 1% ruling class, whatever, of Wall Street, Occupy Wall Street. But this person goes in, and in the second part of this article, they go on to the discreet charm of the 9.9%. Let's talk first about money. Even if money is the only part of what makes the new aristocracy, such a weird word, the new aristocrat special. There is a very familiar story about rising inequality in the United States, and its stock characters are well known. The villains are the fossil fuel plutocrat, the Wall Street fat cat, the callow tech bro, and the rest of the so-called top 1%. The good guys are the 99%, otherwise known as the people or the middle class. Wow, 99% of the population is the middle class, bro. I think we need to fact check that. The arc of the narrative is simple. Once we were equal, but now we are divided. The story has a grain of truth to it, but it gets the characters and the plot wrong in basic ways. And actually, you know what? I didn't even think about it. I could share the article with you if you want to read along and see what the hell I'm talking about. Paste. This is the article I'm reading from. Ugh. With part of my comment from earlier that I didn't send. It is, in fact, the top 0.01% who have been the big winners in the growing concentration of wealth over the past century, half century. According to UC Berkeley economist Emmanuel, blah, 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 160,000 or so households in that group held 22% of America's wealth in 2012. So that number is 160,000 households held 22% of America's wealth in 2012. It's 160,000 hardworking people, I guess. Up from 10% in 1963. So 10%. So 160. Wow. There's a big difference. 160,000 households held 22% of America's wealth entirely in 2012. And in 1963, they only held 10. If you're looking for that kind of money that can buy elections, you'll find it inside the 0.1% alone. A tale of three classes is figure one. The 9.9% hold most of the wealth in the United States. So the bottom 90%, according to this chart, hold at most 35%. The top 1%, the top 0.1%. I don't know why they broke it down. So the 1/10 of the most richest people in the country hold less than 20, but the 9.9% richest people hold nearly 60% of the wealth. It's quite a bit. It's quite a bit. But you know what? I mean, this article is just going on about how rich people have all the money. I don't know if it's ever going to get to the origin of a species. I guess some aristocrats. But you know, the only reason I even thought that was interesting was because, you know, I'm studying for tomorrow's show. the meaning and origin of words, which will be a much better, more formatted show than this. Right now, as the title suggests, free form. And like I said, anyone can call in at any point and stop me from my boring drone. Otherwise, I'll just carry on. And if for whatever reason you like this, maybe you enjoy terrible content, you can follow. Oh, Lord. But seriously, tomorrow night will be a much better show. But this will be a good show if somebody would call in. That's about the only way. Otherwise, I'm just reading and seeing if anyone has anything to say about it. Is anyone going to stop me from reading this? So there's this interesting book, you know, because everyone goes on about how America's a democracy, right? The United States is a democracy to people. And that's all we hear about in the news. But truly, America, the United States, is a republic. And people say, oh, it's the same thing. It's a word that the, you know, the global community understands. Democracy is like, it's literally the same thing. But it's not by any means. And I've been reading from a book. I was just rereading it. You know, I'll get to actually a smaller point that this guy writes about, but Cicero, which was a name I've always heard, but I somehow found this book, and for whatever reason, I was compelled to buy it. The copy I'm reading right now from is from 1939, maybe. Let me see. Oh, gosh. It's in Roman numerals. MCML1. What is MCML1? C is 100. 1951, really? Is L 50? 1951? When I bought this book a couple of years ago, I thought this was going to be an old book. But really, 1951 is a really young book. Yeah, 1951 this book was written. Wow. That's funny. Because nowadays, you know, because I don't know if you guys have ever, like, looked at old books. But books from, like, the 1880s, you can find them all day long. Like, it's not, if somebody's trying to gyp you by selling you a book from the 1880s, unless it's, like, a rare copy. Oh, Wesley's doing it. Unless it's, like, a rare copy, it's not worth it. It is not worth it. But sometimes they look really good on the shelf, you know. Wesley's over there doing a show. If you guys want to talk about vaccines and shots, I would like to see where that goes, actually. It's a shame that I'm on here right now. Wesley's doing a great show on that. It is a very interesting topic. But one I have not found the ability to build an audience around. Because I am too opinionated on the issue. Wesley's kind of pro-vaccine. But he's also very free, a free market person as well. It's an interesting perspective. But one of the quotes I wanted to read from here on my Monday night show from De Republica by Cicero. He's talking, basically the entire conversation is a conversation between two people, or two or three people, like a group of people basically. And they're discussing topics of importance. And though this book was, so let me see when it was actually published. The book was published, and I'm holding my hands, in 1951. But this is from the Roman Empire. So it's much, much older. I'm trying to find out. So this was written about 54 to 51 BC. So, I mean, this is older than the New Testament. And he's literally talking about, it's a conversation between folks. And unfortunately, much of the translation is lost because it's just so old. Like, every once in a while, you'll be reading through and it'll be like, oh, this many lines are missing. Right? But he's talking about, all of a sudden, there's a second sun in the sky. And there's this, which is, you know, obviously crazy. There's two suns in the sky. And this is kind of like supposedly like a fictional dialogue to help Cicero explain his own internal beliefs around the Republic and the importance of states and how they should operate for the benefit of the people. And Cicero, I'm not sure if he, I think he was just like a lawyer of the time. I don't think he was ever like somebody too high up there. He was back in Roman times. I think a lot of people like during this time period, this was early Rome. But, but then he goes on. So in the beginning, I can't read, like literally it's like, this was back when you could write something like that was written for people who have like unlimited time. If they buy a book, they want to read a lot. So he's slow to get to his points, but there he makes remarkable points. And in an interesting way, it's like this, he's literally talking about the second sun arrives in the beginning of this chapter, like 25 pages ago, he's talking about the second sun. And where does it get? Okay, there we go. So his character, Laelius, and I am by no means educated in Latin. So, you know, I have no idea how to pronounce these names. Laelius says, in talking about, you know, somebody inquired, what do you think about the sun? Like, what does it mean? It's a huge deal. And Laelius says, I will tell you, to be sure, and perchance you may scorn my opinion, since it was you who inquired of Scipio about those celestial matters. Nevertheless, I should consider those things which are discreetly before my own eyes more worthy of investigation. For why is it that the grandson of Lucius Pallas, the nephew of our friends here, a scion of a most worthy family and of its most glorious republic, is asking how two suns could be seen, instead of asking why, in one state, we have almost reached the point where there are two senates and two separate peoples. So I suppose he's leaking some truth about the Roman Republic at the time. I'm not sure, because this was so, it's so hard to decipher in this, is he's obviously not talking about two suns, but he's talking about the dividing of a state. In one, and this is literally, this is 2,000 years old, but how timeless is the dialogue? In one state, we have almost reached the point where there are two senates and two separate peoples. And I mean, nowadays, it's like, I feel like we're close to that as a nation, and in the United States at least. For as you observe, the death of Tiberius Gracilis, and even before his death, the whole character of his tribunate divided one people into two factions. And in fact, Scipio's slanders and enemies, at first led by Publius Gracilis and Appius Claudius, even now that those men are dead, keep a part of the Senate in opposition to you under the leadership of Metellus and Publius Musus. I mean, the names are kind of unimportant, to be honest, beside the fact that I can't pronounce them. And these men will not allow our friend here, who is the only man able to do so, to help us with in our present and dangerous emergency. Though our allies and the Latins are roused against us, treaties have been broken, Cedius Trimviers, Triumvirs, are plotting some new villainy daily, and our good citizens are in despair. For these reasons, young gentlemen, if you will listen to me, you will not be alarmed by the second sun, for either no such thing can really exist, or else let it exist, since it has been seen, provided it does us no harm. and we are either unable to learn anything at all about such matters, or else, even if we do learn all there is to know, we can never become better or happier through such knowledge. But as to our having a united Senate and people, it is possible, and unless it is brought about, we shall have serious trouble. We know and observe that this situation is far from being as it should be, in that, if it can be brought about, our lives will be better and happier. And I just, because on Monday night show, we're going to be discussing, I have some, you know, a great listener. He you know, comments regularly, and he wanted to talk about Elon Musk and space exploration. And I found that comment again, and I read that passage because I've only read like the first 60 pages of this book. Very great book. But I wanted to point that out on Monday's show just because it's an interesting perspective. It's like he's talking about literally, I guess Cicero was thinking of the most grand thing you could find, and that would be, you know, I mean, how grand would a second sun be? And if we have no control over stopping it and it's of no immediate harm to us, the problems in our daily life are still more important, especially those of the government. It's just interesting because people back then seem to be like in the, having the same problems in our government. But there was actually people that admitted they care. What's up, Matt? Here, start trouble again. At least they admitted back then that they had problems in our government, and that they had people willing to stand up and figure out what was wrong and fix it. They had literal statesmen. Now we just have politicians. Of course, we have a lot of greedy people. We have greedy people and people that want to complain about the greedy people. But we don't have people, enough people that legitimately care about the law. I know you're. I know. Somebody called you on the other night because you got me. You got me on a rant the other night. Oh Lord, that was funny. I hope I didn't like. God, man, I hope that came out clear because I was not trying to be offensive. Oh man, but you know, I think Cicero is kind of like related to Plato in a lot of ways. Except for Plato is Greek and Cicero is Roman. No, that is not what I was saying, Matt. I was saying it's all bullshit. Every angle of it. But I know it seems it's so hard to get that. It's so hard to get that. Good Lord. Matt came into the show the other night and started trouble with me and he got me rolling on a topic that might need some sensitivity around it. Because, well, that's interesting too. Is because that kind of, you know, like these topics are so timeless. Let me see. Yeah. Well, be less is, you know, that's bless, by the way. Bless. When you bless someone to be less. Terrible things people don't know that they say every day. Terrible things. Anyways, Matt's getting me going again. I'm just going to play some music for a bit because, you know, I'll be back. If you guys just want to listen, anybody listening right now just wants to listen to me, you know, obviously. And by the way, Eric, are you there? Has this feature been here the whole time, if you're still here? I don't think he's here. Eric's disappeared. God, this poor guy's got to listen to content all day. But this is a new thing that I just found. And I'll be right back. I'm just going to play some music, though. Thank you. cook you off. Wait, does it? Not that. Just delayed. All right, I'm still learning. You know, I'm blaming everything. You know, the great thing about joining CastBox Live so early is that I get to blame all of my problems, everything, on CastBox. Guys, look, the delay in the features, come on now. Again, this is freeform. It's open. Anybody want to call in about anything? Preferably something controversial. Anything that could bring about heated discussion. We would love to hear about it. I'm just looking at people with actual profile identities, like with actual photos and not ID. 1 billions, and there only appears to be two in the room. So if Prem, or Anita, if you guys want to call in, feel free. If you don't even have anything to say, I'll draw it out of you. Don't worry. We'll figure out what you really want to say. Don't you worry about that. And if nothing else, be sure to follow for a more structured show tomorrow night. Because right now I'm just playing about. Playing about. Do-do-do. Do-do-do-do-do. Playing about. Bow-wow. Bow-now-now-now. Yeah, that was the wisdom. Oh! And one of the most fascinating things, right? Like I was saying, Cicero was like actually into being a good leader, like an actual law-abiding person that brings about law in a good manner. And I don't know, it's very interesting. Very interesting person. His book's a little long-winded, but who doesn't get to be that way sometimes, you know? There's one more page I had marked. Oh, so the guy who was going on about how the fact that there's literally two suns in the sky and how unimportant it is based compared to the fact of things we can control, like the fact that the country is being divided, that states are being divided. You know, this was probably during the early collapses of Rome. This was 30 BC, roughly. I know the Roman Empire went on for hundreds of years afterwards, but I know they had the first collapse, and then they had like a second permanent collapse. But it's fascinating to hear these perspectives, because Cicero was all about the government and doing it right. And he's saying, so Mucius, because the guy just having is a conversation, a fictional conversation. What knowledge then, Laelius, do you think we ought to acquire in order to be able to accomplish the result you demand of us? And Laelius replies, the knowledge of the arts which can be made useful to the state, which can make us useful to the state. For I consider this the noblest function of wisdom, and the highest duty and virtue, as well as the best proof of its possession. Therefore, in order that that's just... He's literally saying the knowledge of the wisdom, its best and highest virtue is to serve the state, to benefit the people. And these people they're legitimately talking in the purest forms and the best ideologies of government. They're not talking about any twisted forms, which we experience today, and certainly they did back then. But Cicero's trying to bring about a clear ideology of what government should be and what the people who represent it should be. Thanks for joining, Peter and Claire and DJ once again. Do not take any received wisdom as fact, says Peter. Received from who? And also, it's hard to take anything from here as fact because it's literally a fictional dialogue based 2,000 years ago. But what is interesting is the problems they have haven't changed. And again, Peter, if you want to call in, please feel free. I'm looking for callers tonight. Just free form. If what I'm reading inspires anything, feel free to call. You know, I just like, there's a lot in this that rings true to me. That, like, I've already kind of felt but couldn't express. So at some point, they get into three different distinct types of government and describing the differences and how they affect the people and what Cicero's point of view is on them. Because Cicero is mostly speaking through, I think, two characters in this part. Mostly was Scipio Africanus, who was an actual person. Let me see. Scipio and so Scipio Africanus, whom I infer from reading is Cicero's own thoughts for the most part, or maybe the thoughts and ideologies of a perfect government or a perfect statesman and orator, as Cicero was. I mean, what is an orator? They don't even exist anymore. What is that? An orator? Isn't that like just someone who speaks for a living? I guess they do exist. Orator. So an orator is a public speaker, especially one eloquent or skilled. And that's what Cicero was. So it's almost like a philosopher, I guess. I think the Greeks kind of called orators philosophers, whereas the Romans, maybe they were orators. And that's just a guess. Because to me, Cicero was the Roman Plato. But, I mean, I'm half illiterate, so don't even bother taking me for fact. So Scipio was alive, Scipio Africanus, whom Cicero was using to explain his points of views through, was alive 236 BC. So even 170 years before this was written. He was a Roman general and later a consul who was often regarded as the greatest military commander and strategist of his time. Scipio's conquest of the Carthaginian Iberia culminated with some other things about things that I don't even know the name, I don't even know the places. You know, Scipio left Rome and withdrew from public life. It says, disillusioned by the ingratitude of his peers, Scipio left Rome and withdrew from public life. Oh, I see. So before that, I'm skim reading. Scipio was reviled by other patrons of his day. In his later years, he was tried for bribery and treason, unfounded charges that were only meant to discredit him before the public. Disillusioned by the ingratitude of his peers, Scipio left Rome and withdrew from public life. Peter, I would love to have a conversation with you, man. Call in. I feel like what you're saying is more nuanced than we can get through in text. And it's a free-form show tonight. Usually my shows are more rigid and structured. But if you want to call in and talk about, you know, where is the best place to gather wisdom, or how you think, you know, what you're, go deeper in what you're saying, that would be great. It would also be great if I could ever scroll on down here. Oh, man. All right. Otherwise, you can explain yourself through text if you want to try, but I'm interested in what you're saying and why you're scared, man. Why are you scared, Peter? Why are you scared, man? Oh. But, where was it? Oh. So Scipio is going in through these different forms of government, which, you know, he explains a commonwealth, which many states are, you know, like the Commonwealth of Virginia, I think Massachusetts. There's definitely a few others. And commonwealth literally means, at least in ancient Rome, property of a people. But a people is, so Scipio is going on, well, then a commonwealth is a property of a people. But a people is not any collection of human beings brought together in any sort of way, but an assemblage of people in large numbers associated in an agreement with respect to justice and partnership for a common good. The first cause of which an association is not so much the weakness of the individual as a certain social spirit which nature has implied, which has implanted in man. For Mao is not a solitary or unsocial creature, but born of such nature that not even under conditions of great prosperity of any sort is he willing to be isolated from his fellow men. 15 lines are lost. In a short time, a scattered and wandering multitude and had become a body of citizens of mutual agreement. Certain seeds, as well as we may call them, for otherwise no source for the other virtues, nor the state itself, could be discovered. Such an assemblage of men, therefore originating for the reason I have mentioned, establish itself in a definitive place, at first in order to provide dwellings, and in this place, being fortified by its natural situation and by their labors, they called such a collection of dwellings a town or a city, and provided it with shrines and gathering places which were common property. Therefore, every people which is such a gathering of large numbers, as I have described, every city, which is an orderly settlement of a people, every commonwealth, which, as I had said, is the property of the people, must be governed by some deliberative body if it is to be permanent. Thanks for the applause. And this deliberative body must, in the first place, always owe its beginning to the same cause which produced the state itself. And we see that same exact ideology in the beginning of the United States Constitution. I always mix them up. It's so easy to mix up the preambles. We, the people, that's the Declaration of Independence, right? And then the state, So we the people, in order to form a more perfect union, except for in the United States, we did it. We the people, in of the United States in order to form a more perfect union, establish justice, ensure domestic tranquility, provide for the common defense, promote the general welfare, and secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, do ordain and establish the Constitution of the United States of America. So again, it's we the people. And this comes from the ideology that Cicero is bringing about in 20 BC. So, I mean, we're talking about this is ancient governance. So he says again, and the deliberative body must, in the first place, always owe its beginning to the cause as that which produced the state itself, we the people. And the Declaration of Independence also brings that about in a different way, giving credit to the Creator. And the Constitution is founded under the Declaration of Independence. But people, you know, it's a whole different line of logic. And again, tonight's free form. Anybody wants to call in? What's up, CJ? Did you go to the Great Wall? Did you hike it out there? Again, I'm just reading from Cicero's De Republica and discussing some of it. You know, I can't bring myself to read on my own, so you guys compel me to read. So I just find it I find it fascinating how timeless this information is. In the second place, this function must either be granted to one man or a certain selected citizens, or must be assumed by the whole body of citizens. So there's three types of government he's laying out. And so when the supreme authority is in the hands of one man, we shall call him a king. And the form of this state is a kingship. When selected citizens hold this power, we say the state is ruled by an aristocracy, like the article I began this episode off with. But a popular government, for so it is called, exists when all the power is in the hands of the people. So in many ways, in the United States, we have a popular government. Although a popular government can quickly dwindle and descend into an aristocracy. And any one of these three forms of government, if only the bond which originally joined the citizens together in partnership of the state holds fast, though not perfect, or in my opinion, the best, is tolerable, though one of them may be superior to the other. And like I said, Cicero is long-winded. This was written for people who, you know, about 10 pages ago, somebody asked Scipio, who is speaking right now, what form of government he thinks is best. And he's explaining in such a long way, but he's trying to narrate a bigger idea too. For either a just and wise king, or a select number of leading individuals, or even the people itself, through this is the least commendable type, can nevertheless, as it seems, form a government that is not unstable, provided that no elements of justice or greed are mingled within. What are you saying, Cole? You want to join? Cole? Meow, meow. Meow, meow. Where are you at, bud? Come on. Come say hi to everyone. They're all asleep. You can meow to them for food and they'll bring it to you. Put them under your spell, Cole. Meow, meow. Like I said, if anybody wants to call in, it is freeform. I know that this guy right here with the orange thing. Fire Red Lion. You want to call in, man? Anybody can call in and discuss what they want. Open discussion, okay? You want to talk about your grandma and what she knitted you for Christmas last year? We're all ears. Open forum tonight. Otherwise, I'm just reading. Just reading old dead people reading. But in kingships, the subjects have too small a share of the administration of justice and deliberation. And in aristocracies, the masses can hardly have their share of liberty. Since they are entirely excluded from deliberation, for the common wheel, W-E-A-L was a word, huh? Welfare, like welfare, but it's well. That was a word. Wow. Well, and from its power. And when all the power is in the hands of the people, even though they exercise it with justice and moderation, yet the resulting equality itself is inequitable, since it allows no distinctions in rank. Therefore, even though the Persian Cyrus was most just and the wisest of kings, that form of government does not seem to me to be desirable, since the property of the people, or the commonwealth, for that is what a commonwealth is, as I have said, is administered at the nod and caprice of one man, even though the Massalians, now under our protection, are ruled with the greatest justice by a select number of their leading citizens. Such a situation is nonetheless to some extent like slavery for a people. And even though the Athenians are at certain periods, after they had deprived the Argos of its power, succeeded in carrying on all their public business by the resolutions and decrees of the people, their state, because it had no definitive distinctions in rank, could not maintain its fair renown. And it's funny because you hear people talking about how anarchy is the way. And I find it interesting that we're definitely not in the best form of government right now, but this discussion has been going on for thousands of years. And the Roman Empire definitely had it down to a degree. And that's why I'm reading from Cicero's Republic here. But I'm going to take a quick break. You guys enjoy some music. Be sure to follow. Hit that plus follow button. And I'll be back.
Thank you.
So, Eric, how long has that been a feature, by the way, that I could play the music directly into the computer there rather than playing it through my microphone like I've been doing the whole time? I'm sure it sounds much clearer. And actually it does. I listened to it earlier because I was literally playing it through the same mic I speak through and try not to make noise in between scenes. Unfortunately, I can't read your name. Anya, I have no idea what that comment means, but feel free to call in. I see you're a real person by your comments. If anybody wants to call in, it is free form tonight. If not, you just gotta listen to my ramblings. I mean, because that's all that's gonna happen. And if you do call in and I don't see it, I should be able to take calls on the computer, but I've never done it before. So, I don't know. I'm not quite sure how that works. What? Right, well, I'm just gonna plug myself for a minute because nobody wants to call in. That's fine, guys. I'll just sit up here drowning in my own stupidity and, you can leave me stranding, okay? I'll just drown out here on my own. You can watch me. You guys realize you're like a bunch of tourists on a beach right now and you just see a guy out there in the ocean. He's drowning and, the lifeguard, which is the phone call. Could you just, you could just throw the phone call out, calling in and discuss the topic and you won't do it. You guys are literally watching a drowning man. Oh, Lord. If this is what humanity is calling to, I don't know. I don't know where, how far we can make it. I don't know. That's a long name. Was that Disa? What is that? What is that name? DACA's fault? DACA's fault? Is that like a political term? I don't know. DACA's fault? Is that like DACA? Like the government thing? That might be a little brutal. I wonder where that's coming from. But anyways, like I said, if you guys want to continue watching me drown, I guess that's fine. See if I care. You guys got plenty of choices tonight anyways. Actually, there's a few people on tonight. I jumped on here because there's no one here. And the second I jumped on, everyone jumped on. I guess that's the way it goes, though, huh? Let's see who else is on. Why do we cheat? How am I going to compete with that? You got a smiling Asian woman in the profile pic, and why do we cheat? I mean, come on. How can I compete with that? The only way is with the caller. If anybody wants to call in and discuss whatever you want, you can plug your music. Fine. You know what, guys? Well, tomorrow I've got some topics actually lined up. Tonight I just jumped on because I have nothing going on. But tomorrow night I have a structured show. It's fact, true or fact, and it's chapter two, and we will be discussing and taking a look at words and their meanings, their origins, and what they mean for society today. And it's pretty interesting. I got some great people to join in on that night and really help out with the conversation. And on Monday night, we have a special guest caller, Neil deGrasse Tyson, will be calling in on Monday night to discuss space exploration in society. Just kidding. It won't be Neil deGrasse Tyson. It'll actually be Einstein himself. No, but somebody will be calling in and discussing, Elon Musk and all that, and where space exploration is headed. And I will be discussing the context in which it has to do with society today. So that'll be Neil deGrasse Tyson on Monday night. be sure to follow. Hit that plus follow button. What's up, Logan? Oh, my boy Logan's here. He is ready to tear it up. Yeah, he thinks I'm going to call him. Oh, dude, he wants to call. He's so cute. The youth these days. The youth these days. Logan, are you just going to cuss like you normally do? Because I know your pattern, bro. Ain't a fool. If you want to tell your shit, dude, if you want to have an actual conversation, I'd love to hear anything you have to say. You type one. You type one in the next comment, Logan, and you get to call in. Type the letter one. All right. Seriously, if you want to have a genuine conversation, okay? If not, I'm going to hang up on you and block you immediately. I want to talk to you. What's up, ADMF? I'm trying to talk to Logan. We're going to see if he can have a conversation. Hello? What's up, Logan?
Fuck!
No, he can't do it. I don't know what is up with him. Oh, it's so sad. It's so sad. God, that's terrible. He literally can't just... It's so sad. I don't know what happens, people. ADMF, I was just telling them how you, Neil deGrasse Tyson himself, will be joining us Monday night. No problem. There's not much going on tonight. I'm really just free-forming. Talking about nonsense. God, Logan, man. That guy. He literally just, like, he just calls in, he cusses, then he'll sit in there talking about nothing. It's crazy. So anyways, guys, like I was saying, Sunday night, tomorrow night, talking about words, their origins, their meanings, and trying to keep it interesting. And Monday night, Neil deGrasse Tyson himself will be calling in and discussing space exploration. Okay, seriously, Neil deGrasse Tyson will not be coming. But it'll be a good conversation nonetheless. We're going to be talking about Elon Musk, I believe. And free market space exploration. Again, it's free form. If anyone wants to call in and have even the most intelligible of conversations, even slightly intelligible. It's funny because the next step for Logan would be to talk about how I'm, you know, he's the alpha, but he listened to me when I told him to put the one in like a good boy. And I appreciate that. Logan, you know, I know you're still listening because you got nothing to do with your life. I'll unblock you tomorrow. You can call in. I want to hear about your life, man. You obviously want to share your things. I know that your brother abused you as a child. Sad. It's really sad. But we want to hear about your life. Well, shoot. Stop talking like crap. Anyways, if anybody wants to talk about anything, it is a free-form show. Call on in. Oh, yeah. Neil deGrasse Tyson himself, bro. Oh, Lord. Yeah, dude, Neil's calling in, man. And there's rumor that Elon Musk might also be calling in, but he said, you know, I had to have people call in tonight. He said if I can't get anyone to call in tonight besides Logan, that he won't be coming on the show. So, guys, if you want Elon Musk to come on Monday night, call in immediately. Oh, God. What does it mean to take something in vain? Let's look into that. This is raw content. I mean, like, literally raw. Like, I'm just... There's no research involved. I had this typed up. I haven't looked at it yet. To take in vain. To abuse, misuse, or pervert. To use a name such as God without proper respect. Don't abuse the system. The director of the factory misused the funds intended for his healthcare victims. So he took them in vain? I don't know. That don't make no sense. But guys, if you have not seen Funny Money with Chevy Chase, it's a money laundering scheme. No doubt about it. It is, like, seriously, it is the worst movie ever, and it was clearly made to launder money. It's terrible. Guys, look, I jumped on here, open somebody, talk to me, guys. Don't make me beg. Elon Musk will be on this show Monday night if somebody calls in tonight. Anyone calls in and shares their life story about anything. Hell, call in, and I'll ask you questions until we get... Do you think your life's not interesting? Come on now. We'll get to the interesting bits without embarrassing you. Come on now. Come on now. You know you guys want... You guys know you want a little talk-a-talk. Come on, call in and talk-a-talk. Elon Musk will be on a show if anyone calls in tonight. Elon Musk will be on here. Got quite the thing lined up. Albert Einstein. Gosh, I'm just spinning plates out here, man. No, but tomorrow night again, seriously, it'll be much more structured. Freeform is tough, man. People do it, though. See, this is like me practicing my comedy routine. Oh my gosh. So, this is everything I tell you is true right now. I know I was just joking about Elon Musk coming on the show. Okay, I'm sorry. Neil deGrasse Tyson won't be here Monday night, but we will be talking about space exploration, and we will have a great caller into the show. However, my stepfather, he was, you know, a bit of an asshole, and... Man, he just was so sad. Yeah, I had this all built out the other day. What was the name? Hold on. All right, you guys stick around. I'm going to go into a comedy routine because I feel like I'm on stage right now, just falling in front of. So I'm actually going to jump into this little bit, and it's going to be a true bit, but. I got to remember how I had it structured. I'll be right back. In the meantime, enjoy some musicies. Actually, clearly. Hey, what's up, man? Yeah, absolutely no real topic. Oh, sorry about that. No real topic. But I see I have two callers calling in. I'll take you each one at a time. Briefly tell me what you're calling in about. Oh, you hung up too soon. I'm going to take you if call back in if you can. Hello, what would you like to discuss tonight? You're on the air, whoever. I can't read your name. It starts with a K.
Yeah,
it's Patrick. How's it going, man?
Good. I'm just here from Toronto. I just want to say hi. And I think the Raptors are going to win the next game, too.
What is it?
I just want to say hi to everybody. And I just think the Raptors are going to win the next game against Golden State.
Oh, you're talking about sports?
Yeah. You haven't seen the game?
What is this, basketball season? I didn't even know there's sports going on.
Oh, yeah. It's the basketball season. The finals game one is done, and the rest of one. Last Wednesday. Haven't you seen the game? Where are you from?
Where am I from?
Yeah.
I've never taken a call on my computer, so it's hard to. I'm literally here through my TV. I am from North Carolina. Where are you from? California?
No, I'm from Toronto, Canada.
From where? Canada?
Yeah, Toronto. Yeah.
Brownsville?
Oh, Toronto.
Oh my god, my speaker is so bad on my end. I'm hearing through my TV. I've never taken a call like this.
Yeah, I'm just close to
New York. Oh, there you go.
You there?
Yes. No, that's much better. I guess I was on speakerphone.
Yeah, I was in speaker, but now I'm just speaking from my phone. Yeah, it's good. Yeah, I'm in Toronto. Haven't you heard about Toronto? I'm from Toronto. Like, it's close to New York.
Oh, Toronto. Are you French?
Yeah. It's like I just moved from Baltimore to Toronto like 2 months ago.
Yeah.
It's just the summer starting here. I just want to say that the Toronto Raptors are going to win this game two against Golden State.
So wait, basketball's a Canadian basketball team plays against the United States basketball team? Is that what you're saying? Golden State's California, right?
Yeah, the Golden State is from California. You never watch NBA?
No. There's Canadian teams compete in the NBA.
No, only one team is in NBA. That is Toronto Raptors.
There, but there is one Canadian team in the NBA.
Yes, that is Raptors.
Oh, wow. I didn't know that. I didn't know. I don't watch. Wow.
Do you watch sports at all?
No, no.
Like, no football? Like, what do you do? Like, I'm sorry.
What do I do?
Like, what do you watch?
What do I watch? I watch people on YouTube live. I don't watch much TV. I like, I don't have TV subscriptions or anything. I just, so somebody's asking, Raptors are Canadian? Raptors aren't. They are? Oh. So there's two?
The Toronto Raptors, they never
been to the... Oh, it is the Toronto Raptors.
Yeah, they never been to the final games ever. And this is the first time that they have been to the finals. And the Golden State have been in finals for the last 5 years and won 3 times.
Mm-hmm.
And they are like really underdogs here. I hope they win. And they won the first game, and there is 4 more games to go.
In basketball, there's only then you get to the finals, right?
Yeah, it's like the championship.
Which is in like, but that's in fall, right?
No, that's now. It's now happening right now.
The finals?
Yeah, Google it.
Oh God, I can't fill my mind with too much of that. But yeah, no, I didn't. I thought the finals. All right, I'll take your word for it, man. I'll take your word for it.
No, you just Google it.
What do you do in Toronto?
Yeah, I work for Amazon.
Hmm.
Yeah, I'm an engineer who works for a company called XP Logistics, and we do 3PL for Amazon. Like, we literally own the warehouse and ship the product to customer when somebody goes to Amazon.com or Amazon CA and order stuff.
Are you primarily working for the Canadian Amazon, or is it the same for both?
No. The company I work is called XP Logistic. We have like eight sites for Amazon, and 7 of them are in United States, and we just opened one in Canada. So I used to work from Baltimore for 2 years, and then I had to move out of states due to immigration. So I just moved to Canada like 2 months before.
Canada's a lot easier to get into.
They are more welcoming than Americans. But they are good.
Say what?
Yeah, Canadians are more welcoming.
And do you think that's always a good thing?
Sorry?
Is that always a good thing?
Is that always a good thing? I don't know. It's I don't know. It's a good thing for the people coming in.
All right, so yeah. When you came to the United States, you were on a, what is that?
Sorry?
Are you Indian?
Yes. Right?
And so you came on an HB, what is it, HB something visa?
No, I came to States like in 2014. To do my master's. I came to Texas. I was there in like 3 years in Texas. I did my master's there, and then I moved to Baltimore for my work. But after my master's, I could work for 3 years, but I didn't get my H-1B picked for the last 3 years, so I have to move to Canada. Unfortunately, but it's fine. Things are good. Like, I get to see more. I get to travel a lot. I get to see new people, so it's good.
Now, I watch one of the things I watch on YouTube. I watch a lot of scammers, and they happen to be from India. Have you ever met anyone? Do you know anyone that's like trapped in that at home?
What do you mean by that?
Like, stuck in that lifestyle? Like, that they have to do that for a living?
trap in where? I don't get you.
In India. A lot of them seem to be Indian, the scammers will call in. Because they have a call centers over there.
Okay.
Do you know anyone? You don't know that?
I don't know. I don't get scam calls.
You don't know anyone? Do you know anyone back in India?
Like doing what? Like scamming people?
Just in general.
No, I haven't seen anybody doing that. Like,
because I'm just that's where we're getting from. But do you stay connected with your family there?
Yeah. I have my family and I have my school friends, everybody lives there. I lived there for like 20 years, so I know a bunch of people. So I don't know people, I don't know what she's talking about, but where I grew up, I haven't seen people doing that.
Yeah. Maybe no, I mean, I'm not accusing you or your family. I'm wondering, I want to see behind the scenes of that lifestyle because I'm just curious how those people live.
Can you be specific?
Like there's tech support scammers. They put out these fake ads and they'd be like, oh, your computer has a virus. And you call it up and it's almost always an Indian company, a company in India, like trying to scam you out of your money.
Okay. I get you what you're saying. That is mostly the scammer outsourcing the telecom speakers. It's like they might not be scamming you, but the scammer itself is going to outsource the people who are talking on the phone.
So, some of them seem to be ignorant to the fact of what they might think they're helping, but some of them don't know.
Yeah, it's just that I think like the scammers might be somewhere else, and they just hire a few people who can talk to people in states, and once they have a potential guy who can they scam into, then they take over from the from them, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't think people are as good to scam someone over here and get the money out from here. I think the guy who's scamming probably might be in states and outsourcing that bulk of talking stuff. And once he get the potential people, like who he can specifically target, then he takes over. Instead of like talking to 50 people and getting one guy, you can have people in India talking to 50 people and they're giving that one guy to you. And you can take over that one guy and scam it and get the money out of it, and you can pay like a 5% or 10% what you scam to the guy who speaks to 50 guys. Know what I mean?
Yeah, but that's something you've heard, like, are any of your friends and not trying to find anyone, but have you heard of anyone that's been involved in that?
No, personally, no. But
it's probably such a small percentage that it's probably like I've never met a mafia person, but I know they're here in the United States.
You know a lot,
like a mafia, like somebody in the mafia.
Yeah. So that's what I want to ask you. So, have you met a mafia before? No, isn't it?
Have I been in the mafia before?
Like, have you met someone in the mafia before?
My family was.
Your family was in the mafia? Like, what kind of business were they in? Oh,
I will. But somebody's asking questions. Hold on. Somebody said, when was the last time you were in Texas?
Me?
Yes.
2014, 15, 16. Mm-hmm. 16 was the event. I moved from Texas in 2016, January. Yeah, I lived in Arlington, a couple of blocks from the Cowboy Stadium, and we used to go like the Cowboy Stadium. In I don't know. Do you watch football?
No, but I know the Cowboys.
You know the Dallas Cowboys, you know, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah, I went to this University of Texas Arlington, which is like very close to the Cowboy Stadium.
Yeah.
It was like just a couple of blocks. You can blocks. You can just walk to the stadium, and it's a really good stadium. Have you been to the stadium before, the AT&T Stadium?
No, I've only been to any major stadium in the world. I've been to some AAA baseball league stadiums. I don't think I've ever been to a professional baseball stadium.
Which state did you say you are from?
North Carolina is where I'm at now.
Okay. They have a football team, isn't it? The Panthers.
North Carolina? Yeah. And their basketball team is the Tar Heels. I never paid attention, though. But one of my great uncles used to run booze when it was illegal, like in the 1914s.
Yo, running booze is not a mafia thing. How big was he?
No, he was just as a child, like when he was like 16.
He has a child when he's 16?
No, he was like 16 when he was running. He was driving booze in like the 1914s. Like 1910s, 1920s. He's dead now, my great uncle. And he was driving liquor back and forth. He was the good one. His brothers and sisters got into like racketeering, or his brother got into racketeering. His name's Frank Maggiore.
Like, how big were these guys you are talking about?
Frank Maggiore was like, he was called the underboss. So they were competing for the head place in New Jersey, in like the New Jersey crime family. He ended up like killing Frank Maggiore. He like killed like, it was him and like two other guys were like fighting for the top position. I think they ended up killing the leader, and then they were like fighting for the top position. And
yeah, are you for real?
Huh?
Are you for real?
Yeah. Frank Maggiore, look him up. Maggiuri. Frank.
I would.
That's my great uncle.
Okay, can you spell it again?
Frank, FRANK, Maggiore, Maggiuri.
Maggiuri.
They were part of the DiCalavente crime family. He sued the Sopranos for impersonating him. In his family, him and some—I forget who it was exactly—but he was involved in some lawsuit against the Sopranos for impersonating his life.
Frankos was a New Jersey mobster and the former
DiCalavente. Yeah, I don't know how to pronounce it either. I can't. It's like DiCalavente.
DiCalavente crime family. So you are from a DiCalavente crime family?
No, family that family is like, the family name's different than the actual name. Like my family, I don't know. I think that's like that name.
So what's your dad's name?
Maggiore, David Maggiore.
Okay, his son is Charles, Big Ear Maggiore.
Yeah, Big Ears Maggiore. I think one of them's alive in jail right now.
Your dad is Charles?
No. One of them, Charles is like Frank's son.
Yeah, but you? Oh, okay. Then
no. That's like no. Hold on, Fuck Clan. If you want to call in a minute, call in like 5 minutes. I'd love to have your call. Somebody's trying to call in.
So Francisco is your great grandfather, and Charles was your grandfather, and
I'm not from their line like that. They were my great grandparents, or great great uncles, great uncle, my great uncles.
Like your uncle.
Frank was my great uncle. Then his son was Charles, I believe.
Yeah, Charles Big Ear.
But I'm not descendant from that line. I'm descendant from So Frank was, and then Maria is my mother. my grandmother, and I never met my grandfather on that side, so I don't know who he was.
Well, he's in Wikipedia, I guess.
Huh?
Oh, is this your grand? Okay, great grand uncle, somebody. Okay, it's interesting.
So you know.
Well, so North Carolina. So it's okay. I see. This is New Jersey. Okay.
Yeah, I don't. Yeah, that's where my dad was born. Was New Jersey, but.
Yeah, I've been to Jersey. That's a good place. But I like Baltimore better. But I like Texas a lot too. So I've been to places in states before I could move to Canada. But I like to go to Mexico someday.
What do you like better, Toronto or Baltimore?
I want to say Baltimore now because I just been here for 3 months. But it would be too hard to say some city is not good in 3 months. And most of the month I was here, time I was here, it was snowing. So the summer is just getting started here. So probably things get better. And
yeah.
Moreover, Toronto is a bigger city than Baltimore. This is like Toronto is like is the New York of Canada. So, yeah, that's how it is. So, what do you do? Like, what do you do?
I mow lawns and I write about mowing lawns for the most part. Lawn care.
So talk about the business. So, like, is it like good money in it?
For me, no, because I don't have focus. But there is, certainly. Because anyone can pick up, you know, like I picked up my first lawn tractor when I was like 16. My parents helped me buy a riding mower, like a cheap one. And I drove it around. The biggest thing is you had to be self-motivated.
How much do you make it?
I should be making, I'll say what I should be making, $60 an hour to maintain my equipment, but I make about 45 when I'm actually mowing a lawn. But you get a couple lawns, but that's because I'm using a push mower, not a riding mower. Once I get my riding mower going, it's like easy to get $60 an hour because you charge like 40 a lawn basically, and you do two lawns in an hour at least. And on average, and you make good money that way. People make millions of dollars. It's one of the first, it's like one of the best jobs for people who don't want to go to college, who don't want to go work for someone. But like I said, I don't have focus. So I also write about lawn care. And I write for
really?
Like lawn care companies and all that.
Because I used to live in Texas. Most of the mowers are from Mexicans, and they do a really good job too. And I was thinking, how much do they make?
Mexicans are always, you know, they're always undercutting, doing it for too cheap.
Okay.
But it doesn't. I don't know what they're making down there, but up here, as far as like construction goes, a lot of the reasons people get mad about Hispanic people coming to the country. In large numbers, is that jobs like that get undervalued. So they'll come in and they'll mow a lawn for $10 an hour easy, like it's nothing. Whereas, like I was just telling you, I can make 60. So yeah, they'll come in and really destroy the economy as far as independent work like that goes. Because for an uneducated person who wants to work for themselves, it's the best opportunity. But you have a 100,000 people coming in and taking that work every year, you know, it quickly gets undervalued, unfortunately.
But there is work that you can't employ people like the truckers. There's demand for truckers right now in the market, and you can't hire people for trucking.
Trackers?
No, truckers.
Oh, Trump. Yeah, fuck that, dude. Like, that's like...
Oh, watch your mouth.
That's like... you have to sit down all the time. I would be a police officer if I was a trucker.
Because, like, police officers... Truckers make $150,000 to $200,000.
They do make good money. It is a great job. But you got to buy... I think some of them had to buy their trucks. And you also have to get special licenses. You have to have, like...
Yeah, that is true. That's what I'm trying to say. Like, yeah, I understand people sometimes come out from outside and undercut the pay, but there are
it is few... protected from the it is protected from the like that. Like you're saying, like immigrants, like wanting to, too many immigrants. Nobody in America is against immigration entirely. It's just about
how many.
How many exactly? Because you. Because we have poor people too. It's like we have people yeah. from, you know, we got people trying to figure our shit out too.
Yeah, I understand. It's your country, you get to rule. It should be first. American first, I guess. Yeah, that makes sense.
That means, and it's something you kind of had to be like the father figure on. You can't be like weak-kneed about it. As hard as it, you know, it's hard to be tough. Like when I was younger, I certainly didn't understand. I was like, why can't we just let everyone come in?
Mm-hmm.
Right. But now as I grow up, I'm like, oh, okay. You know what? Like it kind of starts to make sense. Especially when I look at markets like lawn care or construction.
So let me ask this question to you. Don't get offended, okay?
Okay.
So you, if the Mexican people comes in and they are ready to do the trucking job, are you okay with that?
Again, it's about how many. But that's better than what we're letting in anyways, because what we're letting in is people who have no work experience for the most part. So that's probably even better.
That's what because, I want to ask you. Like right now, in the I've been in this logistic field for like 5 years now, and we really find it difficult for hiring new truckers, and people don't want to drive anymore. They just want to go to at least like a community college and get a job and settle, you know, in a place. They don't want to like drive all day, all night. Even if there's money to make it.
Yeah,
people don't want to do it. Like they just want to. They would probably go work for McDonald's than drive a truck.
Well, it's dangerous. It's dangerous. You're driving.
Well, in that case, if the Mexicans are ready to do it, is that fine? That's my question.
Is it fine? For the most part.
Mm-hmm. Which part is in the market?
Well, because if they're only doing it for the money and they're not willing to worry about the safety of the people on the road, that's a completely different issue. If they're going to drive for 24 hours straight and kill someone with their car, with their giant truck, that's an issue. If they're not going to obey tracking, the traffic signals.
The trucking industry is very much, to my knowledge, very much regulated, and you can't just drive like that. And the insurance company is, you're talking about insurance in...